yes, folks, that's the collectors. This is Thursday. It's 4 p.m. Central. I'm Fred McMurray, and this must be Pillars of Franchising, broadcasting the secrets of success in franchising. Along with me today, we have a huge packed house of my longtime co-host and friend, Ray Pillar, and our many wandering foot injured Hallie Ford, and long term multiple guest winner Jane Costo. So, welcome everyone, and that's just on top of our guest. How are we doing, everyone?
I'm doing good, Fred.
Great day here on the Central Coast. Injured but happy.
Oh, Lord, that was boring.
And nobody knows who to talk, who's going to talk. Well, I'll tell you
yeah,
about
we,
the weather here.
Hand
beautiful.
Motion.
Oh. Lord, that was boring. It was so sleep-inducing.
We just lost half our audience, so... But here in beautiful Aurora, it is 73 degrees. The sun is shining. It's absolutely gorgeous outside, but tomorrow it's going to rain. So thunderstorms tomorrow on Friday, which is okay. It's better than the weekend. Last Sunday it rained all day. And then on Monday the sun came out. It's crazy. But I'm here at home. Heidi. How you doing, Heidi?
Holly, what about you?
Oh, I am in Cincinnati. Just got back from, it was like a week and a half in Niagara Falls, which was amazing, for a convention. But, yeah, broke. I'm not going to claim that. I did something to my foot that ended up getting pushed in a wheelchair for a few days, so that wasn't fun. But God, it was amazing seeing the waterfalls from both the Canadian and New York side. It was, I don't know, I had no idea that such an amazing wonder existed in the world. So yeah, I'm in a great mood today, and I know you didn't expect me on the show today, so, you know, I'll hop on for a little bit, talk to some of our guests for a few minutes, and then I'll hop back off, and we'll be good to go.
Jane, tell us what's going on there.
Well, you know, I'm in Arroyo Grande on the Central Coast in California. It's got to be 74 degrees. I know, poor me, but, you know, if you have to be poor, this is a good place to do it at 74 degrees and a good reason for it. So things are going well here.
All right. This is Pillars of Boring. That's okay.
My Niagara Falls story was not interesting. Are you kidding?
It was riveting, Holly. I don't know what he's talking about.
Thank you.
Blah, blah, blah. I went to a convention. I fell down, went boom, and life sucks. Ah.
No, Fred, it was way better than that. I walked into a door trying to open a door for a handicapped woman, okay? Smashed my face right into the glass thinking it opened, and that part didn't open. So that's where it started. And then I go back into the little conference we were in, and we walk back out, and I've got ice on my nose and my lip, right? And I walk up the steps, and we go to this little restaurant, get a glass of wine. We're walking down, and, like, it was a choice, the ramp or the step. Well, I made a quick move, hit the step, and trying not to spill my glass of wine, I fell on my ankle, smashed the glass of wine. So now I've got a fat lip and an ankle. So, yeah, is that better? Because that was a true story.
A fat lip, a sore ankle, and no wine. It doesn't get much worse than that.
Right. Exactly. I'm lucky. lucky I had somebody pushing me in a wheelchair because it would have been a really hellish week. And it ended up being the most amazing week of my life. So there you go. And, you know, I'm going to put this out there because we've got to make it interesting. Remember, I opened the door for the woman in that wheelchair. So then I became the woman in the wheelchair, right? And I noticed all of these things. Like this, we're in the elevator and there's this janitor and, you know, he didn't speak really well. He was a very humble guy. He was going to the basement to work on things. And he said to my friend, I'll pray for her. I'll pray for her. Like, because they don't know what's wrong with me. They don't know it's my foot. They think I could be dying, you know, because my foot was in a boot, you know. And I thought, you know, I just got to see another side of the human condition, how kind people were to me in this wheelchair that really wasn't worthy of that kindness, you know, being, you know, that I was fine, you know. But it was really, I know, Fred, I'm not fine, whatever. It was really eye-opening to see that, and it just, you know, I look at all of the doors that open backwards for people with handicapped chairs, and you push the button, the door opens into your foot, you know. Just a really great experience for me.
So what you're telling me, if I understood that, is you found a whole new sense of humanity due to dropping some wine.
Nailed it.
And that, folks, was the rainbow of this. Well, we're glad you showed up. And I think the only way we can tap into that is if Jane will introduce our first guest.
I'll do it. We've got Jared Jensen here today. He's responsible for business development and growth within Floor Coverings International. It's a franchise, and he's been there since 2012. But he has numerous years of experience in franchising and business development. Jared also served in growth and development in franchising for Meineke, which is part of the Driven Brands products, and also Harris Research, which is a Home Depot company. He understands the importance of utilizing his overall experience so he can bring in what he calls the best of the best into Floor Coverings International. Jared, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
So where are you and what's the weather like where you're at?
I live in Logan, Utah, northern Utah.
Ooh,
it's sunny
nice.
And beautiful.
A
little bit cool.
Until when?
Well, it's Utah, right? It's high desert. It will it'll be freezing overnight here within a week or so, and my plants will all die. My garden will die. But that white money falls from the sky soon enough, and then we get a ski.
So do you like skiing then, huh?
Absolutely.
There you go. Well, I guess if you live in Utah, you really should like to ski.
That's sort of like living near the beach, right? That's our version of the beach.
It is. So, Jared, you say you like to bring in the best of the best into your franchise. What characteristics do you look for when you're looking for the best of the best?
Well, that's a great question, and there's a lot of misconception out there, especially when you look at a home service brand like Floor Coverings International, when many people think that construction-related skills or, you know, other service-type skills are really at the core of the business. And the reality in our business is those things are a lot easier to teach than leadership skills. So we're looking for people that can hire and lead a small team of people that have those people skills, communication skills, that are willing to follow a proven playbook. Floor Coverings International has been around a long time, over 30 years, and we know who we're looking for, and the keys in our business to success have a lot less to do with flooring and construction and contracting and a lot more to do with leadership and business and communication.
So how do you identify those characteristics?
Well, there's all kinds of things that we do in terms of process to vet people out. It's a mutual relationship when we work together to find people and communicate with those people who have those leadership skills. So, of course, we do a personality profile assessment where we're when we meet candidates, we want to know about those leadership skills. We want to know about their interpersonal dynamics. We want to know about their tendencies and their organizational skills. And then we want to know how smart they are and how creative they are. And there's a combination of all those things that go into business ownership as a whole. And as you know, with all the franchising experience we have here on the call today in small business ownership, you wear a lot of hats. And so wearing those hats requires a lot of different skills. And in short, you know, we've learned it to be a lot easier to teach a smart business person about flooring than it is to teach a smart flooring person about business.
Lay it on out there. Ray, yep. You got something you need to ask? Hop on in here.
Brad, you could print that on a T-shirt or a hat, like any
yeah,
one of those hats.
Yeah, really.
Right?
that pretty much holds true with a lot of businesses, though. It's personality is a hard thing to teach, and personal skills is a very hard thing to teach, but it can be taught, and there are a lot of skills that go into financing, into franchising, and like you say, you've got to wear all those hats. As far as a personality personality awareness, what part of that would you find the most difficult to ascertain in a person?
Yeah, good question. There's a couple of key points when we look at – so first of all, we all internally, our corporate team, we take these same assessments. We consider them great communication tools. They're not perfect. None of them are perfect, actually, but they're pretty – they're pretty accurate in at least starting a conversation. One of the first things I always go to is risk taking. And so when I get a candidate I'm working with that is just not willing to take a risk, and their scores come back really, really low in risk taking, or really, really high for that matter. We're not looking for someone reckless and frivolous, but we're also looking for someone that's willing to take a bit of a risk. Business ownership is risk, right? If it was easy, everyone would do it. So that starts a conversation. And some people just need to go get a job, and they don't know that. And, you know, it'll start us down the discussion and help us have the right conversation with someone if they're low in their risk-taking. So that's one of the first things. After that, I like to look at a couple other things: aggressiveness and assertiveness. And you combine that with some other leadership skills like skepticism and cautiousness and thoroughness and, some of the structure, external structure, self-structure. And what we really want to look for is passive aggressiveness. Passive aggressiveness is difficult to communicate, right? When you're riding in a car and you're freezing to death, if you're freezing to death, we're riding in the car together and you're not comfortable telling me that you're cold, we're probably not going to have a very good relationship in business, right? So being able to communicate that and be open-minded. That's always important too. So that's a strong leadership skill to be able to communicate with your employees and other people you deal with. And, sure. Those are a couple things that we're trying to avoid, that passive aggressiveness and someone that's just not willing to take a risk. And we can usually identify that pretty early in the process. Once, most candidates get through that. Once they do that, we really get into some really meaningful conversation at that point.
So how many do you think you say, this isn't going to work, versus they say, this isn't going to work?
Well, there's, early in the process, there's somewhere between, if you look at somebody who meets us through a franchise consultant, for example, about one in six or one in eight of those tend to move forward in the business. So for everyone that moves forward, there's, you know, six or seven or eight that don't. And there's a variety of different reasons for that. And that's pretty high, actually. That's a pretty high conversion rate, you know, compared to, to the rest of the world of franchising. But we really want to have those conversations. If you look at it on the back end, we have about, you know, at the end of the process, we have what's called a discovery day. And people in franchising know that term. We'll have a have people come see us in Atlanta. I just returned from Atlanta yesterday where we were hosting a discovery day. And we have about 60% of the people who we invite to come see us at a discovery day move forward in our business as a franchisee. About 20% of them choose not to move forward on their own decision. And about 20% of them, our operations team does not approve to move forward. You know, those are roughly the metrics on the back end. Early in the process, you know, there's so much sort of exploration going on that we're just looking for that alignment. And it's okay early on if we if it's not the right fit. You know, there are people that want a retail space. There are people that, want a food, you know, that want to be into food. And there's a need for all those businesses. So, you know, part of what we do is look for that alignment. And if it's not there early on, you know, I call it money, time frame, fit, need, four major things. Do they have the capital to start a business? Is the time frame right for them? Is the fit there? Meaning, are they a good fit and their skill sets for what we need and what we're looking for? And are we a good fit for them also? And then the fourth thing, which is the hardest thing to really differentiate, is need or pain or whatever you want to call it. You know, most people who do extraordinary things in business ownership have some level of pain and discomfort with their job, with their life, with whatever's going on. And it's incredible how motivating that is for people to create a situation that's better for themselves.
So let me jump in here with a question then. You got two franchisees, very successful here, and they will answer the question of, will happily tell you why they decided on a franchise, what in their life drove them or propelled them toward it. What would you say the answer is to most of your franchisees of, I'm buying this because it fits my life, how?
They're tired of having a boss, many of them, tired of the corporate grind. That's probably one of the most common. That's probably one of the most common in franchising, right? Particularly in the, you know, 50 to 60s, you know, year old stage when, you know, many people have served in a career. We get a lot of military folks in our business, which we're so thankful for their service. And you know, they're 20 and out. So many of them retire after 20 years. And heck, we get military men and women in our business who aren't even 40 yet, and they're retired from the military. And they've got some capital to invest. They're used to the structure. They're used to the systems and processes. And they've got 30 years of, you know, working energy left, and they want to do something else. And those are awesome folks to meet as well. But I would say that's the most common thing, Fred, that I see are people who they're just sick of the corporate grind. You know, that, what is it now, 2.6 or 2.5 average tenure at a corporate job now. They're tired of that cycle. They don't want to be on it anymore.
So you've got people who said they're done with the man, and now they've become the man, and they're wearing all sorts of hats. How do they compete?
Time out. It's that time. Time for commercial. Okay, time out.
Okay. You got to leap in there, Fred, man.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I know. So you can... we want to thank you for the network.
Fred, staying on schedule, Fred. What are we going to do?
Wow.
I know. Cracking the whips. It's the news of new shows that propels us. So I want to thank the Link Local Network for broadcasting our show. Remind our listeners that they can chat at the website, and I can see it. You can chat on Restream, hopefully, and I can see it, and a whole bunch of other places that we can see. I don't know, I'm having a good time. Anyways, let's see. You can dial in at 323-580-5755 to ask questions. And I want to give a shout-out to Ben's Computer Outlet in Grover Beach, folks. Went to Ben's last night as part of a chamber event, and it's been a while since I've been in a hardware repair place, and it took me back to my roots. And he's got a phenomenal library of old computer software CDs nailed up on the wall. So it was pretty cool seeing that stuff. And now, if we can... yeah. Here we go, folks. Word from a would-be sponsor.
Are you thinking about opening a business? Whether you're in transition from a corporate job, looking to generate investment income, add to your existing business, or just too young to retire, come to the Great American Franchise Expo and explore your options. Meet face-to-face with dozens of franchise executives representing dozens of quality brands. A wide range of price points and ownership models are available. Attend our free seminars on accounting, real estate, and marketing. Franchise law experts will be there to answer your questions, and banks are on hand to discuss loans and financing. The first 100 attendees will receive free VR goggles. For free tickets, visit www.franexpousa.com. The Great American Franchise Expo, coming to a city near you in 2019. Check our website for schedules.
Thanks, Abel. The next one is this coming weekend, October 5th and 6th in Washington, D.C., the Dulles Expo Center. Man, my lips are all dry. And following that, October 26th and 27th at the Tampa Convention Center. And I was talking with Nick Neonakis, and he wants us to do a broadcast from one or all of his shows. So you could see us live broadcasting from a show next year. Ooh, pretty cool. And another word for, or a word from another sponsor. Take it away.
Hey, franchise owners. How is your local marketing? Do you feel like you could use some help keeping up with your social media posts and comments and reviews? Do you wonder if you could be doing more to attract local customers? Are you able to identify new movements to your local area? At Westvine, we help franchisees like you reach more local customers through digital marketing. With daily monitoring, creative content, ad placement, and customer data intelligence, we'll get your business in front of the people who want your products or services. We also work with franchisors who need an agency to handle the digital marketing for all of their locations. If you're ready to reach more local customers, give us a call at 805-265-5440 or visit us at westvine.com. That's 805-265-5440 or westvine.com.
I love being a live podcast and video cast when things don't quite merge yet.
You just got to be happy about it, Fred. Got to go
with
it.
So, although it looks great in the video from what I can tell. Joe, Jane.
Well, your teeth are white, yeah.
Take it away while I take a drink. You had a.
Okay.
So, a fake smile, is that synonymous with a fake news? Or? No, it doesn't work upside down, sorry.
Get Go ahead.
That's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. Okay. So we've got people who are now their own boss, and they have the wheel, and they are out there with their business. They've been vetted. They are ready. They're charged. How in the world do they compete with the big box stores?
Great question. Probably one of the most common questions we're asked. And what it really comes down to, if you look at an industry like flooring, it's $100 billion. It's a massive industry. And so there's incredible fragmentation in the industry. In fact, if you take the top 50 retailers, they have a combined market share of less than 10%. So lots of fragmentation. And if you look at it from the other side, from the consumer side, and you look at who buys flooring and how they buy flooring, there's a major disconnect between the way the world sells flooring and who buys flooring, the way that consumers want to buy flooring. Women are largely responsible for the decision when it comes to making a purchase in the home. The facts say that 70% of the time, yes, 70% of the time she's the exclusive decision maker in a flooring purchase. Yet, you know, the biggest retailer is Home Depot in North America with roughly 6%. Lowe's is number two with roughly 2%. You know, between the two of them, they're usually around 7 or 8% combined. And then you take the next 48 companies, and they combine for about 2%. So, you know, standing on a concrete polished floor in a home center with fluorescent lighting is not necessarily the place where she wants to make a decision for her home, her kitchen. You know, my years in the home building industry, that's something I didn't share with you all, but I learned that this is an emotional thing. And particularly when it comes to cabinets and flooring, this is an emotional decision for her. And she'll go to the store. She'll tolerate a store, usually for one reason. She wants to get her hands on a sample. She's going to take that sample home, and she's going to lay it down in her kitchen, in her bedroom, in her bathroom, wherever it may be. And the research shows that she will absolutely make that decision in the home, not in a store. So how do we compete? It's pretty simple. We build an experience around how she wants to buy flooring, and we sort of ignore the starchy old retail flooring business the way it's been for over 100 years, where less and less people are getting into cars and going to stores, and more people are getting online and doing research in other ways.
So how do they hear about you? I mean, you see Home Depot as you're driving down the freeway.
Yes, they do. And you know, most of our franchise owners would tell you that Home Depot, Lowe's, and Lumber Liquidators and others are not generally our competition. They wouldn't consider them competition because it's just a different customer. They're oftentimes do-it-yourselfers, cash and carry kinds of folks who, you know, may have educated themselves or maybe want to, you know, hire out the installation on their own. And they're also usually 100% driven by price. So they're looking for a cheap floor, and they'll find one. And if you look at the advertising that goes on in that world, it really supports that, you know, per square foot discounts and, you know, buy two rooms and get one free and all these other things you see Empire do on television and other flooring companies. They're really going after that, that customer that's price sensitive. And so many people go to those home centers and others because they perceive they're going to save flooring or save money on their flooring project. Ironically, they spend more if you look at the numbers, and they get a less, a lesser product. Our customers are generally middle to upper class females. They bought enough stuff. They're smart. They're educated. They're sophisticated. They bought some stuff. They want to make sure it's done right. You know, they're asking about exotic floors sometimes, like cork and bamboo and other things. And they may or may not want those, but they're going to ask about it. They want to be educated. They want to know about products that your pets can't hurt, that have a sustainable, you know, that are made from sustainable products that are not environmentally unsafe and other things like that. So educating that customer through the process is a huge part of what we do. You can't get an education about anything at a home center. You're lucky to find someone to help you. And if you do, they're not going to know anything about the product. Very little, usually.
You said empire. And at one point, I grew up from the Chicagoland area, and I remember their stuff for, it seems like, all my life. And now I hate you because I have that tune in my head
jingle.
Again. Oh, Lord.
My kids actually sing that jingle. That's terrible.
And then they
but
put
I can
the
assure
guy
you,
in...
Fred, I can assure you my wife's not buying flooring from them.
So do you have your own jingle?
We could create one today. I've got the time. Let's create our own, Brad.
Let's get started. That's right. That's all I want to do is hear me sing.
Well, no. See, actually, I figure we have very soon will be Greg Markell's of My Second Chance fame. Has done a whole bunch of intros and outros for us, so we'll be putting those in new, so that way we don't tick anyone off custom or copyright-wise, and we'll have our own custom Pillars of Franchising intros and outros. So,
Wow.
Fred, so, you're going to ask me a question about Empire.
No, I was just hating you for putting it in my head.
Oh, okay.
It's a good thing you're up there in Utah.
Oh, that's right. He's in Utah. I mean, I should change my background to something a little more homey.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Like it.
So I was going to ask that earlier when we were in the location part. Was the other one, was northern Utah like the other one, lakey and stuff like that, or more like this one? I've been to southern Utah.
This is southern Utah or Colorado, or it could possibly be Arizona. But northern Utah, where I live, looks like Lake Tahoe, right? It's a lot of forests and trees and mountains and beautiful.
So, you know, Jerry, you said a while ago, I'm going to pull you guys back in here.
Yeah.
You said a while ago that it's much easier to teach a smart person about flooring than it is to teach a foreign person how to be smart in business. So what do you do to train your people? If you need a showroom floor or an area to practice, I can offer one for you.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. So, this really speaks to our support and training. Every franchise organization, virtually every franchise organization I've ever seen, at least talks about how their service and support works. It's a whole different story to actually talk to franchise owners and really see, you know, dive down in and talk to the people who are out doing this, what it's really like. We view this as a partnership. So there's all kinds of training and support that we give our franchise owners. They spend about 60 to 90 days after they sign their franchise agreements before they ever open, learning the business from the inside out, product, sales system and how all those things happen. And then also, of course, the production side, how to hire and manage and lead the installation process. And so all of those things happen during training. The training sort of assumes that people come in that don't know anything about any of it. So that's the level of training that we give and really bring people to the point they need to be to lead the business. Everyone has different strengths and skill sets, and everyone has different challenges. And if you come to our corporate headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, you'll find that it feels a lot like a training center rather than a corporate office, because that's really what it is. It's a training center. We do a lot of training with our franchise owners. A lot of it's online and virtual, but two or three times during the first year, they'll come in person to Atlanta as well.
Any of our listeners are trying to make a decision on which area to go, which franchise to pick. And I think the question comes to mind, why flooring? Why would they want to get into the flooring business? I mean, as opposed to the restaurant business or in, like my franchise, home cleaning. You know, I know, what do you say to a person that says is trying to make that decision and why they should go into flooring?
Yeah, love that question. Well, some similarities between home cleaning as well. If you have, if I can use the term sexy business, you know, there are different perception that people have over what's sexy and what's not sexy. And
go ahead.
For some reason, food, you know, some folks think that a food business sounds sexy, like a business they want. Until you really look at, you know, managing 40 teenagers, and you start looking at the role of the owner, and they very quickly turn on that, many of them. And, you know, why flooring? Flooring's a big, stable industry. It's not going anywhere. It's continually growing. It's something that people need. We actually grew during the recession. And, you know, the flooring industry is something that even during the flooring industry shrunk as an industry during, like many industries did during the recession. We actually grew. So, you know, it's something that people need. It's something that's not going to be replaced by the internet. It's the biggest industry I've ever seen that is virtually overlooked. You know, there's no Starbucks in flooring. There's no one that dominates the space. When your listeners are thinking, well, if I go buy flooring today, where am I going to go? I'd love to hear their feedback, because most people just don't. There's no go-to option. There's no branded option that have just come in and dominated flooring. It's mom and pop on the corner. And everybody, you know, listening to this call, I think today will probably notice twice as many flooring stores on the corner they did before. They're out there.
Yeah.
That's a very positive thing, and our candidates get their mind wrapped around that. When you really look around and see all the flooring companies out there, there is so much money that goes through this industry, and just how many mouths and businesses and families that are supported through this industry. It's kind of the perfect playground. It's a massive industry, really fragmented. No one's dominated the space. There's no brand name that you know, just comes to mind. When people think about flooring, it's a great playground to come in, and you combine that with people are generally underwhelmed in the home service industry by people coming into their home to do any kind of work. They just have bad experiences, right? It's not something that people are very confident in, generally speaking. So when we come in and do an amazing job, we average 4.7 out of 5 stars on all the major customer review sites. Most flooring companies are less than 3. What are we doing different? You know, those are the kinds of things that we show our candidates, and just about every single one of them that moves forward as they're stroking the check, even though people don't write checks nowadays, but as they're doing the bank wire information to come on board in our business, they're saying, I can't believe I'm buying a flooring business. But, you know, it's that kind of a business. There's a lot of stability in the industry. It's a slow growth industry. It's not a trend. It's not a fad. It's not something that's going away. It's not something that will, you know, get, you know, fitness, for example, can be finicky, right? Some new concept comes out and then the other one looks, you know, like it's not so fresh anymore. And this is a pretty steady, slow growth industry.
This is a perfect, you provide the perfect segue to down the rabbit hole. So you said it's not going away. However, how does the flooring industry and your brand in particular help reveal evidence of the coming zombie apocalypse?
Wow. I don't even know where to go with that one.
See, this is why you live in northern Utah, because you know living in northern Utah, you're away from a whole large numbers of zombies, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. They'll have a harder time getting to me. No question.
So Jared, here, let me help you out. So, you know, you do flooring, so you create a really good understanding of the whole situation for people. How's that?
Yeah.
Go with that.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
I tried.
Wrapping your mind around what we. Go ahead.
You can ask your last question, dude.
Well, before we're getting close to that, but I do want to ask you.
Yeah, dude.
And I'm sure our studio audience wants to know, what does it take to get into your franchise? In other words, how much capital are we talking about? you know, and background.
Yeah. So we like to give out the real numbers. We don't like to sugarcoat it. We want people to be well capitalized and to have the money to really build it the right way. Running out of money during a startup's a disaster, right? So you need about $57,900 to buy into the franchise. You need another $130,000 or so on top of that. So the total of about $180,000 to $200,000 is an all-in investment. That additional, you know, $130,000 or so goes into marketing capital, working capital, what we call a startup package, and everything they're going to need to launch the business and get it to positive cash flow is budgeted in there.
It sounds like you really delineated that down to a pretty precise number, which is really good, because a lot of companies just throw a fat number out there, and it's usually way under what they actually need. So
you're right.
with that, then, if someone's interested in your franchise, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can always go to flooring-franchise.com. So flooring-franchise.com. And my contact information is on the site here. The links you all provided I saw as well. There's information there about our business. And so by phone or email, or you can usually find us through that website, flooring-franchise.com, or our consumer site if you want flooring, floorcoveringsinternational.com.
And Southern Utah,
okay.
Right? Or Northern Utah. Appreciate having you on. Yeah, that's why they're called down the rabbit hole questions, because they kind of take you in a weird place.
Take your breath away. They do.
I got to say, when I was driving from Denver straight across one time, I went through Southern Utah, and it's, I think, the Black Dragon Gorge. And, man, that had to be the brightest place I have ever been on Earth. Wow, I was blind. So thank you, sir, for
being
on.
It's a beautiful spot. Thank you for having me. Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jared.
Thanks, sir. All right,
bye-bye.
So now we'll hear from another one of our sponsors. But first, a reminder, you can chat at pillarsoffranchising.com. You can also dial in at 323-580-5755. And another shout-out. I got another shout-out here. Jane, you got any shout-outs? Ray, you got any shout-outs you want to make?
No, not really. No, just my franchise. You know, that's the old logo and the new logo.
Okay. Jane, what about you? Any shout-outs?
You know, I actually do some networking with a few different groups here in town. And there are a couple of them that are just amazing at what they do. We've got, well, a marketing group that I happen to know, called something. And they're really fabulous. I'm sorry, I know you're sleeping on me here, Fred. You're sleeping on me. Anyway, they're very good. We also have a realtor who just helped my son and his wife buy a home, and she was fabulous. Her name is Linda Butler. And she just walked them through. They were first-time home buyers and kind of deer in the headlights. And she was fabulous at walking them through. So, you know, I'll tell you, going local has a whole lot going for it.
So I'll do is on that, on a local but in a big way. I'll give a shout-out to Kristen Stayert, Director of Sales at the Hilton Garden in Pismo. She and I were talking, and I said, "You're a franchise?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "We'll have to have you on the show because, hey, Pismo Beach Hotel, that ain't shabby, is it?"
Not bad.
So now a word from our friend, Nick.
Ever wonder how successful business people get educated about franchise business options? The Franchise Consulting Company is a group of over 100 franchise professionals with more than 2,000 years of franchise experience. We help our clients select and investigate franchise companies, And like a realtor, our services are free of charge to you. Our fees are paid by the seller. Reach out to us to learn more and get a free copy of the Franchise MBA, the number one bestseller and highest reviewed book on Amazon in the franchise category. Our website is thefranchiseconsultingcompany.com or feel free to call us on 800-321-6072.
Thanks, Nick. And before we welcome our next guest, if I can actually find the correct book. Yeah, there we go. The Franchise MBA. You can also get a copy of the book. You don't have to call Nick if he sounds scary or he's busy because he's doing a whole lot of stuff. And he's 3,000 years old. You can just fill out, like more and more people are doing, the form on the site. You can also answer the zombie apocalypse question on the site. Much like we may ask us to, and get a special free prize. But you can get Nick's book, The Franchise MBA. It's a great book. Ray, why don't you introduce our next guest?
Well, our next guest is Adam Winnett. Did I pronounce it right, Adam?
Whoa.
I think he's frozen.
No, he's not frozen. He's just muted. So, Adam, go for it.
Now you can answer that question.
Nailed it. Yeah, Winnett is right.
All right. So, Adam is the franchise development manager at Wow One Day Painting. Welcome
That's correct.
To our show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, the first two questions everyone gets asked is, where are you and what's the weather like?
Sure. So I am in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, so up north in Canada. And September is generally, for us, one of our nicer months. It's still sunny and warm, but fall is creeping around the corner. So today, sunny, it's nice, but you're starting to get that Canadian crisp in the air. So you know fall's coming. But as of today, no complaints.
So when does winter start?
I would say a little closer to December, to be honest. On the West Coast here anyway, we have a pretty pretty focused fall in November and October where it's just a lot of rain, and it's really December when the winter kicks in. On the West Coast anyway. East Coast of Canada, I think winter started a month ago.
Well, it never ends, does it?
Never ends.
Whereas Jane is a happy dweller of the Central Coast, as am I, which I'll switch my screen there just to annoy Ray, so it's all good. my view.
Well,
so,
change that.
That's Ray and Fred, dual background. Ooh. So that means it's left to Jane to restore sanity into this discussion. Take it away, Jane.
I just have to pull you guys all back into things. That's right. So I got to ask, you know, we had our house painted too many years ago, but it took them forever to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Your name
yes.
says, wow, one day. Does it really happen
yeah.
one day?
Yeah, and it's probably the question I'm asked most, but one I'm never sick of answering because the answer is yes. And it's funny, the experience you had is probably the most common experience for people who have had their home painted. It can be quite a frustrating and, you know, annoying process. You have your house turned into a construction site for weeks on end, and you got life to go through. But for us, yeah, that's the big offering for our customers, is really giving them a completely different experience and getting projects done in one day, really with the interior of the house in mind when we're doing that, but it's happening. It's real. We're 9 years in now, and we're doing it.
Okay, so you can do it in one day. What happens if walls need, like, patching and fixing? You still get it all done in one day, or does that happen separately? How does it work?
Yeah, it can be both. So really it's just the size of the project. You know, when it comes to doing projects in a day, we have more people on a crew than generally your individual painter, kind of the guy in the truck and the brush. And so depending on the size of the project, yeah, all prep, furniture moved, everything cleaned, painted, all can be done in a day. There are some people, though, that are asking us to do some projects that need some pretty serious prep, as you're potentially referring to, holes in the wall, things like that. And you're right. Okay. Some of those projects, there might be one day of prep and one day of painting just to get things done in time. Yeah.
That's still pretty impressive. So how many people come into the house at one time to get this done?
The normal, I would say, average crew size for us is 5 to 6. But I've, seen examples as high as 17, 18 on a really big project. The customer needed it done in a day, and that would be an owner that has multiple crews and teams them up for one big project. But, yeah, on average, you'd see 5 to 6 people taking on a project and getting that done.
Okay, so even if I have a
10,000 square foot. All right. Go ahead, Fred.
I want to.
He's the taskmaster.
I want to get a question in here. Is I want to know. So when you describe that, who is the primary buyer when it's time to engage your services?
Yeah. Sure. There's really sort of two main customers I think we see. If I'm going to simplify it, and we all know that that's probably a bit too simple, but it would be the higher end income family who has disposable income and is certainly wanting to change house colors, cabinet colors. They want to update their deck, their fence, whatever the reason is. Often just for it's the new trend, it's cosmetic. Their home is their valuable asset that they like to show off, and so they like to change the colors. It's not necessarily a need to change, but they want to. So that's a huge customer base for us. And the second is more of a middle income where the family's busy. You've got working parents, you've got kids in schools and hobbies, and kind of like the example we gave earlier, people don't want their house to be a construction site for 2 weeks when it doesn't have to be in our case. And they've got busy lives, and they don't want their kids kicking over paint cans and their dogs, walking over ladders. So the ability for them to go to work and their kids to go to school and they can give us their home and we can transform it in a day and give them their home back, that's the magic that our customers look for. And that, again, is often people in kind of that middle income road that are just really busy, and speed and quality means a lot to them.
Okay, so I'm hearing a lot of families. So I guess my question is it the husband or the wife that is most likely to call up and say, come out here and do this, and then deal with the initial getting it actually project management?
Yeah, I think it's always a joint decision on the actual project itself of getting it done and paying that price point of having someone professional do it like this. But we would have more of the female head of a household as the person who's there meeting the estimator, talking colors, laying out the vision, and generally is really the backbone of getting the project done on time. Even one funny quick story for you is we had a customer, and she actually wrote it in her review, but she'd been bugging her husband to, we got to paint the house. And he was like, I'm too busy. Like, you should do it. And she's like, well, I want to hire someone. He's like, don't hire anybody. We can do it. So she's like, fine, I'll do it. So she calls us up and says, listen, my husband's going to work next week. 8 a.m. he'll leave. I want you guys here at 8:05. He gets home at 6:30. I need you gone by 6:25, and he's going to think I did it. We did it. And so she got all the credit and all the glory, and none the wiser unless he's listening today. So, yeah.
Okay, so if you got a picture of the house, if you got a picture of that house you did, we'll post it there.
Sure, I can track something down.
The basis of my questioning, or coming from the question, was just watching the differential of questions from Jane and Ray. You could tell Jane's been through this before.
Yeah. Most people have. It's the tough part of dealing with painters. It's often not a pleasant experience, and that's really what we're trying to do, is give people something very, very different to that and actually have it feel a bit like magic and have it easy to do.
All right, Ray, now you got your question.
Oh, okay, well, I think you already asked the question, but that's okay. I've got another one. I'm looking for kind of a funny experience, because when I was growing up, my dad hired someone to paint the inside of the house, and my dad was kind of nervous because the painter was walking around with the ladder and the bucket on top of the ladder. you know.
Yeah.
And he made some mention to that, and of course I walked by about that time. I think I was, you know, 7 or 8 years old, and all of a sudden the guy tripped on the floor covering, and the bucket came right over my head, and I got covered in paint. So I was wondering if you have any anecdotal type experiences like that.
Nothing we can beat that one.
Yeah,
that's mean.
Yeah, you were. I think you're giving me anxiety just listening to that story. I knew where it was going. I knew you were getting the paint on you, but. The one that just jumps out at me, and it's probably happened more than once, unfortunately, is, you know, when you've got strangers in a house and they're working on a project, the pets are often curious. And so if they have pets, we talk to them about having those pets removed from the painting sites because they're curious. And I do know, and I have to find the photo for you, but at one point a cat had snuck out of the laundry room where it was being held and decided to go for a little walk out into the tray of paint. And then decided to go for a walkabout into the different rooms, and you could follow these cat painted footprints all over the house of where this cat is. You kind of wonder if it was on purpose, you know, those cats. Like, they don't like being locked away. So they documented that with some hilarious photos, and the owner luckily took it well because it was kind of their fault, but they had a good kick out of it.
Wow, I don't even want to try to come up with a question after that. I'll dump it to Jane. Go for it.
Oh, of course. So, you know, this is kind of a different off-the-wall question. I went on your website to check a couple things out, and I noticed you have a color of the month. This month happens to be, is it eggplant?
Yeah.
How do you guys come up with your color of the month?
Yeah. So, and it's been one of the really cool and I would say ambitious things that our PR and social media team has gotten involved with. And it's something that we've really seen customers resonate with. Like, it's one of those things that, you know, you just, people are looking for advice on colors and patterns and trends. So what we look to do in that scenario is both communicate with our painting contacts in the Sherwin-Williamses, the Benjamin Moores, the PPGs, and really talk to them about what people are asking about, what they're buying, what they're using. So we're not just, you know, it's not just our opinion, this is what's actually happening. And then among our network of owners, they're also very connected to interior designers and realtors and people like that. So it's always a conversation with them sending information back to us of, hey, this is what I'm hearing or being asked to paint, or this is what they're seeing as trends, even if they're a little bit ahead of time. So it really comes more from the field itself telling us. And then we're just looking to relay it so customers can use that information when planning their own project. But it's, yeah, it's been really, really cool to see the response on the different social media channels to people seeing these different examples. And often the funny, like, eggplant may not be the first thing you'd think of for that color, but it sticks out. You remember it. So it's been really, really cool.
You know, I was looking, and this month was eggplant, so I went back to previous months, and every month I went to, I decided I liked the color, even though I didn't think I would, so the visual was nice. So we're kind of on the cusp of October. Can you give us a sneak peek of what October's color of the month is going to be?
I don't know if I can give you a sneak peek without facing the wrath of our social media team, but you know, it's in that world, it's all about surprise,
so nice.
Right? You did. I will say, though, it's funny that fall is one of those times where it would be one of the more consistent periods of, it's like the warm, whether it's sort of those, the combination of, I'm going to be simplified as a non-color expert here, but like, there's different yellows, browns, and oranges. It's that shade. It's kind of what you think of with fall. It's where we actually see people gravitate in their house. They may not be painting their entire house that color, but they'll do accent walls, or they want to do features or things that kind of bring out that warm side, especially in markets that are four seasons where they're going to have fall right into winter. And it's interesting. It's kind of, you know, you get the pumpkin spice lattes and you got Halloween, and it kind of fits with that. We've been seeing that year over year, that those colors become popular for a period of time.
I was curious about something.
You've got a happy customer. Oh, go ahead.
I was curious about something. I read an article that women can differentiate between different shades much easier than men, especially, I guess, in the red spectrum. Have you found that to be true, and have you had to arbitrate any arguments between the household members because of that?
Yeah. So, good question. I would say yes to the first part of that question is we do see that, both on the customer side and on our side. So we have women that work in our businesses as estimators or salespeople or franchise owners, and they seem to have a much quicker or better grasp of the color side of things as well. But with that being said, we will do our best to avoid the scenarios you're talking about is getting between a couple arguing and generally point to the female side as the correct one and maybe gently encourage the male side to just back off a little bit on that one. But try to avoid those when we can.
Have you had any personal problems with that being of the male persuasion?
Well, it's you never know. You get surprised at times. Like certain male customers are passionate about colors, and they know what they want, and they've maybe watched Color of the Month. So you do get all types. You can't do I'll use a pun here. You can't paint everybody with one brush. But yeah.
That was good.
Okay, Fred.
That was not lost on me.
Now you're beginning to look like a zombie. You lost your background.
Yeah, I know.
A question for you. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, so while we try to recover the background, because, that was like a zombie thing, we'll go with our last commercial break today. Well, again, thank Link Local Network. Remind callers or listeners at the colorsoffranchising.com. They can dial in at 323-580-5755. That's 323-580-5755. And as we wish our friend Holly recovery of her leg injuries, that's about the only way you can put it. We let her say something.
Zarian Firm International Business Brokers is truly unique in the business resale space. While the average business broker uses one standard multiplier across all businesses and industries to value a business, Zarian Firm is the only business brokerage that looks at the five factors of distinction in each individual business. This gives our sellers a true value and our buyers a fair price. Zarian offers sellers the choice of three marketing packages based on how quickly they want to sell their business. But all of our businesses sell 33% faster than the industry norm.
Zarian Firm International Business Brokers connects premium investors with validated business opportunities.
And, we're back. That's the granddaughter, yes. Go ahead. Who is asking the next question?
I got one. All right. So, besides perfect color vision, what other attributes would a franchise buyer in your industry need to have?
Sure. And on that point, the good news is they don't need to have the perfect color vision. There's lots of help for them there from the vendors. But outside of that, so in our world, honestly, the biggest piece is people, I think. You know, it's a people business. So whether it's obviously a desire to be in front of people, you know, you're bringing a service to people's homes, growing your business will involve you being out in your community and networking with realtors and interior designers, meeting customers. So that's a big piece. And then leading people, you know, we employ teams and we employ salespeople and employ operations managers. So someone that is really passionate about leading people, managing people, they love to create opportunities in their community. That's really the biggest trigger we see for success in our system, and someone that just really likes it. Sales experience, always a bonus, but not necessary. Our in-house marketing and lead generation is firing, so that part they have a lot of help. And probably like a lot of franchises in the home service space, someone that's operationally minded, someone who likes processes, likes systems, wants those things to follow. We've got those things for those people, and when they follow them, they're successful. But so I'd say the operational side and that leadership component, those would be the two biggest that we see gravitate towards this and see be successful in this space.
Fred?
Jane? No, I was going to let Jane take the next one. I was mesmerized.
Okay, so you talked a little bit about community. You guys have a WOW Day. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about the brand itself. And I will say, you know, that comes from the top of our organization. So our managing director, James Allish, very passionate about that. But even higher, the family of brands that we're a part of, O2E Brands, and Brian Scudamore, who's our founder and founder of 1-800-GOT-JUNK. This comes directly from Brian's passions as well. So the Data Wow is really all about opportunities to give back to different communities in different ways. And so what it looks like is on one day a year, all of our franchises donate a complete day of painting time. We get paint donations from our vendors to paint, ideally, for someone in need. And so we've had soup kitchens, we've had women's shelters, we've had hospitals, we've had different like boys and girls clubs, we've had abuse shelters, like you name it. It's really up to a franchise owner in their territory, which is really cool, to find a cause they really believe in. So something that's going to connect with them, connect with their communities. And, you know, in theory, it almost sounds a little silly to say we're giving back painting, but it's unbelievable what these organizations are doing, and they don't have the money to spend on painting, and what transforming a home or a building or a house or whatever it might be that we're painting, just refreshing colors, changing colors, updating for people. It's something they look at every day, and they're usually helping people that are in really difficult times, and to see their reactions to an updated space, updated colors, it's unbelievable. And yeah, it's something we've been doing for a long time now, and we have one coming up here in October. So it's a great way to unify the system, and it gives, again, all these franchise owners the opportunity to really give back to something that means a lot to them. And so I'll be painting on that day, and I'll be participating here locally in Vancouver with the Vancouver franchise, or one of them anyway. But yeah, thanks for asking. It's something we're really proud of.
Jane, and your causes? I know it raises, but your cause?
You know, we actually end up doing discounts for nonprofits with printing. And that's one of the ways that we give back. We do some full pay items, depending on what it is that they're looking to do. But typically what we do is with all nonprofits, we offer them discounts so that they can get their printing for less, so that they can get their word out and make money on the other side.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it just that's part of, you know, I think being a business owner is you have opportunities to do those kind of things, and you're setting the path, and it's incredible to be able to be connected to your community. I'd love to hear what you're doing with your group. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Ray, go ahead. And yours?
Well, you reminded me of something. Mutual Ground, which is the local domestic violence shelter, is having their Walk for Hope this Sunday at 8:30 here in Aurora. So if anybody is interested in that, I just want to give them a shout-out on that. And, of course, the Miss Molly Foundation, which is part of a franchise that a lot of our franchises donate into. And at the end of the year, all the money is distributed to local safe houses across the country.
Very cool.
Yep.
So will
yep.
you be bringing us a recorded recorded interview from the event?
That's a possibility. You can see.
I love it. What? So my question is a really simple question.
Sure.
How would you describe the culture of your company?
So, yeah, I think it kind of goes back to what I said earlier. I would say it's all about people. And, you know, it's an incredibly collaborative culture and an incredibly supportive culture. And it's something it's as high as anything else that we are evaluating in people. If we're going to award someone a franchise, and we are picky who we bring on board, the culture piece is just as important as their skill set and their financials. Because we are very lucky with Wow and Day Painting that our franchise owners do speak to each other on a daily basis. They email with each other. There's a group chat that they're all in, supporting each other, posting photos, asking questions. I'll be seeing them all in November at our planning meetings. And they've just got a very collaborative culture where they are, by their own admission and choice, mentoring each other, helping each other, and really committed to what we're doing as a brand across North America, and want it to succeed as a group, and want to give this service to more and more people. So I would say the culture is it's all about people, and they really care about each other and want to see each other win. They're competitive, and they love to point out when they are winning, but it's very supportive, and that's awesome to see.
So, all right, let me rephrase the question. If you guys are going to have a company meal.
Ah, okay.
What's it going to be like? Is it going to be a barbecue? Is it going to be horseback riding? Is it a picnic, skiing? It's a cookout at the beach.
Sure. Good question. You know what? I think with our group, I like your first suggestion. I think a barbecue that's a bit of a potluck. Everyone would want to bring something. And you'd have a barbecue. You'd probably have some people fishing. You'd have some people playing lawn games. Like, I think that's where you'd see our people really connect with each other, and that would be their preference of how to be around each other for a meal.
Top that, either of you.
Or don't. Don't top that.
Jane, ladies first.
Oh, boy. Well, let me see here. So we've talked a lot about your customer's experience. So what, and our listeners will want to know this, what does it take to get into the WOW One Day Painting franchise?
Yeah. So there's the desire to be a business owner, obviously. And in our world, we would be what you'd call an operating manager model. So our franchise owners in the first 3 to 5 years are fully in their business. So there needs to be desire to say, this is now what I do, versus you guys, I'm sure, talk about absentee or semi-absentee models. That would not be our model. So the first thing is just a desire to be in the business, growing the business. And the model can change over time as you build it, but that's the first piece. Again, the second is, I think, somebody who wants to bring hard work and grit and drive to succeed, and then use the support and systems to do so. And obviously, we'll have conversations about that with them and what it takes to be successful. And then the third would be capital, you know, to get the business started. And in our world, typically that would be people all in, including their working capital, of somewhere in the neighborhood of 85 to 110,000 would be the common range we'd see for the investment, again, including working capital to get the business started. So those would be the three big things. And then obviously conversations with me and lots of learning on the front end. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Well, it does.
All right.
Good, that was the goal.
So now we'll go to another more boring question. The franchise disclosure doc, every franchisee reads it, except for the ones that don't. Every franchisor has them. So it's, in my view, the greatest cure for insomnia known to mankind. However, given as everyone's supposed to read it, what are the top three items you'd recommend a potential franchisee read about on the franchise disclosure doc that can save them time of weeding out a whole lot of others, since there's, 8,000 of them, something like that?
No, it's a very good point. So top three, good question. I mean, one that jumps out at me right away would be at the front end of an FDD, if there's challenges in the legal side, so meaning lawsuits, problems, if you open one up and there's a lot in there, that's my first question, right? And if you're seeing 5, 10, 15 issues on the go, that's something you'd want to pay attention to. And what are those issues? You know, that's a question to ask. Another one for me would be just really having a good understanding of what the initial investment is, what's included in that, what's not included in that, and making sure you do really understand that. Because, how a franchisor has framed their FDD, it may be all inclusive of everything you need to know, and that fits within someone's budget and their plan, or not. And so that's really, really important to have a good idea on. And I'd probably say the third is that I think, you know, people generally and naturally want to understand what the potential is with a franchise. You know, what could I do? None of us are fortune tellers, so we don't know what they're going to do, but we can at least try to understand what could happen and what does success look like. So, you know, the item 19 of just what are you seeing performance-wise and average job size, some of those pieces I think will help someone start to understand where a franchise is at and where they're going with respect to success.
Ray, any words of wisdom?
Well, kind of. I want to get a better idea of the franchise. Can this franchise, at least initially, be home-based?
You know, yes, it is, and generally I would say 99% of the time would be home-based to start, and can stay home-based. I mean, at some point, a lot of people, as they grow their business, look to get some sort of office space just as they start to have more people working for them and they want to host. But absolutely, when you start, it's home-based. Although I always kind of half joke with people, you're just not spending a lot of time at home during the day. You know, your new office is now your neighborhood. You're out in the community. So very much home-based. You're just not sitting at home on a computer. You're going to be out meeting people and doing things. So if you like that variety, this is right up your alley.
And one other question. I assume you have like a discovery day. And how would you characterize that?
Yeah. So discovery day for me is almost like if the candidates and us have been dating and we're talking about getting engaged, this is kind of like meeting each other's parents and having the last moment to ask each other the questions we want. So the day itself is a day of learning. It's the chance for someone exploring our franchise to meet with all the different teams that they're going to be working with, that'll be supporting them, ask the hard questions they have, ask the stories they want to hear, like just really dig in. And for us, do the same, you know, and doing that face-to-face, I think it's so key and so important, and building trust from the starting point, just like if you were deciding to get married. And franchise agreements can often last longer than marriages, so you want to be sure. So it's really just a big day of learning and letting everyone dig in. That was a cheap shot. Yeah.
So, Adam, how long have you been married, not counting tomorrow?
I've been married and married 4 years. married 4 years now.
Oh,
congratulations!
Well, congratulations!
Thank you.
Yeah. Every year needs to be congratulated, you know, because
it's a good point.
It's rough. It's rough.
Yeah. Takes work.
I'm not going to say anything. There's just, yeah. Want to do a Al Bundy riff and don't want to do that.
You know, Fred, your hat's down over your eyes. You obviously are trying to hide something.
What, the big smile? didn't kind of. But I want to thank Nancy Friedman of the Telephone Doctor, nancyfriedman.com, for my fake smile. I'm quite sure she'll send you one if you get a hold of her. So, who's got the next question? Or is it
you
time
do.
For down the rabbit hole question?
Yep, I think it is. I think it is.
All right. So, last week was the great Area 51 invasion, we'll say, by up to 2 million people from Facebook that scared the living crap out of everyone in power. So the question is what? How does your brand support efforts to find either aliens in Area 51 or roaming around the United States?
Yeah, I did hear about that. I heard that the 2 million didn't quite turn into 2 million people, but it's still a scary moment for the government.
A little disappointment.
Yeah.
Knock a couple of zeros off that.
Yeah. So if I was to answer that, I would say that when it comes to the crews that are painting in our system, they're generally made up of a mix of people that have painted before and people that have never painted, people that learn painting. Could that be an alien? Sure. We're hiring. So, aliens got to work too.
That was awesome.
And very believable.
So, Jane, you got any questions before Ray asks his last question?
You know, I just have one question for you real quick. Tell us about your time in Ireland and why Guinness was so special at the day at the time.
Yeah.
The beer question.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would say it came from my grandma, my dad's mom, and she was like very proud Irish. And since I was a kid, was always like, at some point, I want you to go live there. I don't care how old you are. You just need to go and do it. And so at one point in my life, in the early 20s, a friend and I were, you know, feeling a little lost, as young men can be. And I proposed the idea, and he was on board. So we got working visas and moved to Dublin and spent some time there just living and exploring the country. And I have family over there, so getting to meet people. And I'd been told in advance, you know, I kind of liked Guinness before I went, but wasn't a huge fan. But I was told before I went that you'll never taste it like you had it there anywhere else. And that proved to be true. You know, it was the second night there, I think I had my first Guinness there. I was like, what is this? This is what I'm used to at home. And I was hooked, and I was a converted fan. And if I had a number for how many I had over that time, yeah, so I'll leave that part alone. But I enjoyed my fair share. Let's say I made a Canadian dent.
Okay.
Yeah, and love the country.
So
love
how
the
is
country.
The corned beef? How was the corned beef?
Yeah, corned beef was good as well, but I would say that the Guinness was my better memory to take home.
I'm
so bad.
Down.
Ray, that takes us to
you,
my friend.
On that note of food and beer.
Yeah.
Now we've got a lot of people interested in your franchise. So how do they get a hold of you if they're really interested?
Yeah, definitely. So I guess a couple options. They can either go to wowoneday.com/franchise. Ton of information for them to learn about on there, and they can request to reach out if they'd like us to talk to them, and they would talk to me. They can message me on LinkedIn. I'm always happy to connect with somebody and schedule a time to chat. Or they can send me an email, and it's just adam.winnett@wowoneday.com, and I'm fine with unsolicited emails from people that are curious to learn more. I can always talk about this stuff.
Excellent.
Awesome. Wow, we've had a busy day. So I want to thank Adam for showing up and putting up with, all right, my craziness and everyone else's seriousness. But no, there was a couple of questions that were, I'm giving competition for. So thank you, sir. A couple of shout outs here before we say goodbye. Want to thank Sean Vegezzi. Vegezzi, V-E-G-E-Z-Z-I, same word, realty. It was good talking to her. She's a realtor in, we'll say Grover Beach. Remind people we'll be back next week, and you can fill out the form, get the franchise MBA. Yeah, I know. And if you... fill out the form wanting a book, you can get this wonderful book. Otherwise, you can fill out the zombie apocalypse form, and as I'm out, get a free surprise. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you.